I can't believe that I was looking at my notes. You know, I was talking to somebody last night, and many years ago, I was told to write down everything that the Lord presents to you. Because even though you're smart and sharp and young and everything, if you don't write it down, you're gonna forget it. The things of or the worries of this world will take that. Well, God is depositing in you. And I don't want to hear that. No, it's not going to happen to me, because it does happen. When you're in the presence of God and God is pouring of Him unto you, write it down. Because it's going to help others, not only you. And so I was looking at my notes, and we're on week 7 of God's purpose on guiding us, guiding me. You know, when I'm gonna be in chapter 4 today. Chapter 5 is a lot for the leaders of the church, most of the chapter. But it's important for us to close this chapter in the way that I believe in my heart the Apostle Peter intended to be. By the anointing of the Holy Spirit, he was already of age, and he was a guy who made a lot of mistakes as he was growing in the knowledge of God's word. And God is pouring unto us the process of how to become mature, not only in knowledge. Knowledge is really good. But the whole gospel of Jesus was of His love, His grace, and His truth. That's how you're going to overcome the evil one. I want you guys to hear this, because without love or without Jesus, man, we can have all the oracles and be able to discern the prophecies and everything. But it's just going to be that knowledge. There is power in the message of the good news of Jesus. It brings redemption. See, first thing, He starts touching your heart. He starts convicting your thoughts and the way that you're thinking, so that you can line up upon His testament, His will, His gift, the way that He came and deposited this message. For not only the group of believers, but for the whole world. That was the radical thinking of the disciples back then. They were just so lined up to understand the message of Jesus. And so I told you guys when we started this letter, and there is a lot of literacy out there, the good purpose driven and all this other purpose, and they're good. They're really good books. You should read them. You should read the writings of all those guys. I think it's Rick Warren or whatever his name is. You know, there is a lot of literacy out there that I highly suggest that you should read them. But listen, this one right here is the one that has the life. My brother Rick and Francis and all these guys, Their writings are amazing. But how did they gather? See? How did the apostles start writing their letters? How did they gather? It's by communing with God. So the whole message has been God's purpose on guiding me or guiding us. So I gave you guys a psalm to read, and I want to keep repeating, because it's something that we need to hear it. It's different translation says it differently, but I'm telling you, this verse on the Jewish Bible, the contemporary Jewish Bible, that's exactly how it's written, Psalms 57. So that we will not take away from the anointing of the Holy Spirit, of the word, the way that it was presented to King David, for us to dig into it. I want you guys to hear, I call verse, I know you guys, the NIV is going to be verse 2, but it says in here on the CJB, says, I call to God, the Most High. I'm not calling to the God of the Babylonians. I'm not calling to the God of any other gods. I'm calling to God. It says in here, I call to God, the Most High, to God who is accomplishing His purpose for me. God is accomplishing His purpose for me. That's the a lot of the problem of a lot of brothers in the church is that they're trying to do things upon their own because the Bible says that I can do all things through Him who strengthened me. Yes, you can do all things, but He's doing it for you. His whole purpose, everything that He has set up for us is for His will. So that we will have the same mind of Christ Jesus our Lord. To look at people the way that He looks at people. To understand the gift of life. See, that's what He came to give us. Life and life in abundance. So that we will be set free. Let's read. I'm going to go back and read the last verse, the last paragraph of chapter 3 to keep it in the contents about the message of the love of Jesus Christ for you and me. What He's accomplishing in you and what He's accomplishing in me. Listen, in Christ Jesus, there is no hierarchy. The stinky pastor is the servant of all, is the very bottom guy. He's not supposed to be the way that was set up in today's society. See, they flip things up. The apostles gave it all. They were truly submitted unto God, unto Jesus Christ's service. They were not like, oh, I'm the leader. Walking like all that with tobacco chips. No, they were all the way down. You know how they minister? In their knees. Especially when they were facing hardships. They were praying for the kings, they were praying for the governors, they were praying for those who were persecuting, saying, Lord, have the same mind to Christ, forgive them, because they do not know what they do. That's what the Bible, the gospel teaches. But nobody wants to humiliate in front of people. Nobody wants to be humble nowadays. They want to be walking with the crowns on their heads. I'm carrying all the Holy of Holies upon my head. The gospel was given for us. To inherit, to invest, to pass on life unto others. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18-22 reads, I'm excited because I'm going to take up, brothers and sisters, and I want to close this chapter because the next chapter, when I come back, God willing, it's going to be just so beautiful when we close the first letter of Peter. But let's go back to 3, verse 18, amen? I'm going to read this paragraph and then we're going to pray. Chapter 3, verse 18. And it reads, for Christ died for sins once and for all. The righteous for the unrighteous to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit, through whom also He went and preached to the spirits in prison, who disobeyed long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, 8 in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolized baptism that now saves you. Also, not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge, hallelujah, of a good conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels, authorities, and power in submission to Him. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you to give you thanks, Lord, for what you have done for us. Everything that you did on that mountain, Lord, for the reason that you came was for us to proclaim this life, the life and the suffering and the resurrection of you that was prepared before Him, Father, by your hand for Him to go through it so that we can be close to you, that we can be brought up unto you, Lord. God, thank you. Thank you, Jesus, because without you, we couldn't be standing before a very righteous God. The righteous for the unrighteous. What a beautiful gift. May you bless the reading of your word. And I thank you for all things. In Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. You know, I hope that by now we start seeing how much love God has poured unto us. See, we sometimes read the Bible and we just like overpass. But what the verses that I chose to read to you right now, it speaks life. That's our faith. Without the resurrection of Jesus, there wouldn't be no hope. And there is eyewitness who testified after he was buried that he walked with them and ate with them and talked with them. It is recorded. It's a little story that somebody invented or wrote it. You have to believe this message. Listen how beautiful Peter says in the previous paragraph. Although you cannot see him physically, they saw him. They were taught by him. He walked with them. He protected them. He put unto them physically. And they were beyond blessed. But all the apostles are saying, but blessed are you who yet have not seen him yet. You have fallen in love with him. Through the word, I told you guys last week I was here on Revelation 12, through the word of their testimony. How they gonna believe? Listen, we are here to testify of the goodness of God. Every human being on earth knows what is right and wrong. That's why the Bible says that you do not need nobody to come and tell you, come and know the Lord. Because when the Spirit of the Lord was poured unto everybody, unto this earth, from the smallest to the greatest, will know that he is the Lord. There is no other way to believe in the message of the Creator of all things, of heaven and earth. There is no one like him. There is a lot of little gods and a lot of little kings, but there is not one like our God. He's the only true high God. I call unto God the most high God. That's the only one. He has done so marvelous and supernatural events and things that even if you're struggling in believing by reading that book, you will become a believer, because there is no way that the work that he has done was done by the hand of man. It will be impossible. If you're a heavy study of the word of God and you start looking at the years and the times, you're going to calm down the same thing that the apostles did waiting for him in Galilee. I've been telling my brothers, they did not know the day or the hour, but they were able to read the seasons and the times, and they were waiting for him. And when he appeared, Andrew went running to Peter. Peter, I found him. Come and see him. He's the one that John was talking about, that the scriptures is talking about. Andrew was in with this joy to ingest it to his brother Peter. And then Peter went. Another amazing event with the lady on the well. And then she went and told the whole village. Then the village came. And this now we believe because we hear from him, not because you told us. Amen. See, that's the beauty of continue growing. Not because I preach and teach and you guys gonna believe. Now come on and read the Bible. Come and hear from him. Let God give you the piece of bread, the piece of manna. Every day. Daily pick up your cross and deny yourself. Daily. That's how you're gonna be submissive unto God. What I just read to you, the way that he did it. And all authorities were submitted unto him. That's why I bow. See, the reason why we're supposed to communicate is because he let you, you know, say these things, man. Jesus did it for us. He's going to accomplish the purpose for us. He already did it. He will continue doing it until whatever he has started, he will perfect it. That good word that he started on you. Why he call it the good word? Because he wants you to understand the gospel. He doesn't want us to dismember the body. He wants us to understand, to learn, to agree, to disagree. I cannot have my convictions for how I'm walking with God be upon you. I can't. But I'm going to walk hoping that I'm being an example to you. I'm going to teach and preach in a way that he's pointing unto me, hoping that you will you will chase him that way. But I know that I know that he will put unto you so that he can make you who he is already working in you to be. See, then remember the scripture, you guys, that we're many members forming one body. You cannot be like me. I cannot be like you. We need to understand that. And that's the gospel of the good news. But if we make a stand, a banner, then we're not any different than the teachers of the law back then. This is my banner. Oh, I belong to community Christian Jews. I belong to church. I belong to Apollos. I belong to Peter. I belong to Paul. And some of the more smart ones, I belong to Christ. And that's by that dividing the body. And the apostle saying, Corinthians, that was not the intent of the gospel. We all one. We all equal. There is no hierarchies. That's why I told you, hold you leaders in high esteem, because many of us are over there praying for you, not sleeping, sometimes not eating or drinking. What the religious folks call it fasting. Many of us are doing that without saying it to the whole world in the secret room. I don't do it for show. I do it in submission unto my God and your God. See, that's the beauty of the gospel. But if I stand over here and start boasting about what I do for me to commune with God, then I'm going to unwillingly take the glory of God upon my shoulders. To him be all the glory when I read it today. Let's go to chapter 4. Amen. Just remember that he's coming soon, you guys. You know, we do not know the day that we do not know the day or the hour. But there is a lot of stuff in there that he left for us to be ready and understand the times and the seasons. Okay? Because if we would know the day and the hour, then we would get ready. What does that mean? That you're supposed to get ready regardless. If you don't know the day or the hour, be ready, be watchful. Amen. Chapter 4, verse 1. I read those verses because of these verses, and I want to read to you verse 1 and 2. And listen how powerful this one says. Amen. Listen, and just pay attention to when it says the same mind. Amen. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of my God. You see that? Verse 1 and 2 on the New King James. I read that because on these verses, because listen what it says in there. Arm yourself. You have an enemy. It's not people. I told you guys last week. You're supposed to love the sin like a lot of people says and disregard the sin. Oh, but he said this and she said this and they said this and there's the gossip around and there is the accusations and there is all these things that is not of God, even though when you're right, you're wrong. But if we say, Lord, please help us. I'm in disagreement with my brother and my sister. Show me the way. And you know, when you pray that, he's going to show you his way, not your way. Amen. His way. His will. Just think about it. Think about it this way. Because it says, arm yourself with the same mind of Jesus. You might think about it that he would have come and said, look at everybody and says, man, you guys suck. I'm done. Done deal. Finish it. Because that's how we sometimes unwillingly judge others. Sometimes we do that. Because we haven't comprehended. Because we fear. Oh, he's going to take my position. Oh, I like this. Oh, I like that. The Bible says those who fear has not been perfected yet. Right. See, they're still attached to the things of this earth. Oh, this temple. Oh, this altar. All these things. And who made the altar in the temple holy? Who is the Holy One of Israel? Who is in front of me right now? That's the reverence that I have. But when you start looking at, oh, it's my dollar, and I'm gonna die because I wanna, you know, and I'm gonna bless, and I'm gonna give. You have him like this. Did he ask you for tithes? No. Did he ask you to give? Yes. cheerfully. That's what the Bible teaches. It's a perpetual thing for the Jews to tie. To tie what? It was never money. It was grain, seeds. So that the whole house of the Lord has plenty. When the times comes to be in the need, the people will come to the house of the Lord and they will be blessed with beans and frijoles and whatever potatoes you might have in the house of the Lord. That's what the tithes were made for. So that the people of God who serve in the temple will have plenty not only for them but also for the times of need. It was about sustaining the physical body because the ones in the altar were working for the spiritual body. So the ones in the altar has double job. To feed them in the physical and feed them on the spiritual. That's how did that goes of the tithes. Was never money. Silver and gold, I'm the owner. He said that. Am I asking you for this? I'd rather have somebody who humble themselves before me. Because sacrifices and all this I do not desire. But if I'm like, you know, I'm going with the last time, right? If I'm in today's time preacher, selling the gospel, the non-prophets become with no prophets because of freaking profit. Making a buck. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. What is the sin that, listen, you guys, it's a singular sin. Now we know the truth. Now we know the gospel. Well, now we know that Jesus Christ is so good that he does not, he's going to judge the living. We're going to read it today. He's the judge, not you or me. We're supposed to be carriers of the good news. Preachers of the good news. Of the love of God. That's why I said by now, I hope that we start understanding the love that he has put unto us so that we will call children of God of the same household. That because that's exactly who he called us to be. We are children not because of I got saved because pastor so-and-so preached and I got saved. So you belong to that pastor? Or I got saved because of this and that and I got baptized because of this and that. Come on, guys. Bless your leaders. Hold them in high esteem. You was born new, not by the will of men, but by the Spirit of the Lord. See, he called us. He's calling everyone who has heard the gospel to come and submit themselves to all authorities. I just read it to you. Has been given to him, and he's at the right hand of the Father. What does it mean that the right hand of the Father? Don't take the Bible like, oh, see, there is the Father and there is the Son. No, the right hand saying, I am. That I am, that I will be. That's what the Bible says. That he that was up there, now he has all the authority. The right hand is the authority, the power to cover and to defend. Now he's our defense. Now he has the power to give us life. Now he has removed the stink of death from us. Now he has done it for us so that we will understand the gift. Amen? That's one of the purpose, brothers. The purpose, Jesus. One of the purpose that he has for us is to acknowledge that we are not better than others. Really. Since many of us, some way, somehow, were part of those that we sometimes wrongfully judge. We're not better. Now we know the truth. We're actually more guilty, if you don't mind, because now we know the truth. See, now the sin can stay with you. But man, we have an advocate. See, when that person that has ceased from sin, it means that we have understood what the Holy Spirit is doing. I was telling her sister last night, take this to heart. When the enemy was cast out, he was cast out to a place that was void and dark. In Genesis. Right? Check this out. And he who's calling all things together was doing the same job and still doing it today. And the Spirit of the Lord was woven over the waters, keeping him at bay. And the Spirit of the Lord is keeping him at bay from you. still doing the same work, still wavering over the waters. And you are the water, and you are the salt, and you are the light. See, that's what the Bible teaches. He's still covering you. He's still protecting you from the evil one. That's how you overcome the evil one. I see from that sin. I'm not going to give you no power and say, oh, I have cancer because he's the enemy. No. There is a purpose. And I see the purpose. How God works. In a body that is sick, he will deal the healing, not us. He will do the healing. That's what he put unto me all these weeks. I'm about to go for 7 weeks. He will do the healing. When the body is sick, he let him be God. Let him be God. He's working. Even when we don't see him, he's working. He's preparing the table before our enemy. He's at work. That's why he's important to me. You think I didn't ask him? Why? I've been serving you with all my heart. Then he gave me the message of his purpose to guide me. And I was dying to come to this chat to share that with you. He is going to be doing marvelous things with Community Christian Church. You just need to be ready. We clinging to the gospel. Love. Love. Truly love. Don't hold back. Truly love. Disregard all these things of the gossip and everything that sometimes we do. Kick it off. Right then and then. And walk in the holiness of God. That's what he's calling us to do. See, this place was selected many years ago before he even came. I've been telling you this altar was raised by somebody that wrote God before us. But he was working for us. And now we're working for others after us. Amen. See, that's the beauty of submitting, being submissive unto God. Let's go to verse 5. It says, they will give an account. Listen, when we don't pass judgment, when we don't do these things, we let God be God and us be who we say we are. You see that? The liar is the one who has not been perfected yet. But now we're walking in Christ. Now we're walking in the holiness of God. So let God be God and let you be the child of Most High God. If somebody's going to lie, let him be a liar. Because God is truth. See, that's what the Bible teaches. So let me read the verse 5. They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this reason, the gospel was preached also unto those who are, listen, not who was, who are dead. He wants you to pass from death into life. Whatever you're holding back is part of death. And death has no stink on us. We're supposed to preach life, not and share life, not preach death and share death. We have to be wise. Listen, I want to read it again. They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this reason, the gospel was preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but according to God in the spirit. You want to be judged? Because sometimes you're walking with the Lord, and there are others, hey, he said this and he said that, and it's spewing death. Even when you're right, you're wrong. And I told you guys last week, when we're doing that, we're working for the other side, not for the winning team. You feel me? See, that's how the Bible preaches. And listen, they will be judged according to men. Why? Because men says, they're not believers. They don't belong to us. And God says, I am God. I'm going to take care of it. And he gives you the example of those ones in disobedience in the times of Noah. You see how good God is? For us, those guys suck. For us who says, crucify him. Sometimes even in a more holy moment, We get angry with the Pharisees because they killed your Lord. They didn't kill your Lord. He gave his life. The Bible says that. He has the power to give and to raise it back up. See, he's teaching us not to look at things in the flesh. Because I want to read to you what Apostle Paul says the same thing. What are the deeds of the flesh? Or the least, you know, what do we do? Let's read it. But the end of all things is at hand. Verse 7. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayer. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak of the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God might be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. See, let me take you to Romans really quick. Let's go to Romans 2:17, because I got to share this with you before I move to the next point. Listen, okay, let's go to Romans chapter 2. Because I shall share with you that I'm anchored, I'm a slave unto Jesus to preach the good news. I was anointed by God to bring the good news. I'm not lying, says the apostles. I'm telling you the truth. 2:17 reads, and this is home run for everybody who wants to walk in with a religious mentality that we're better than others, that we only want to have the truth, and those guys sucks, and this guy's this, and this guy's that. Check this out, what says on the scriptures, 2:17. Now, if you call yourself a religious guy, okay, if you rely on the law, okay, and brag about your relationship with God, if you know His will and approve of what is superior because you are instructed by the law, if you are convinced that you are a guide for the blind, a light for those who are in the dark, an instructor of the foolish, teacher of infants, because you have in the law the embodiment of the knowledge and truth, you then who teach others do not teach yourself? And you who preach against stealing, do you steal? You who say that people should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? And you who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who brag about the law, do you dishonor God by breaking the law? As it is written, God's name is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. If you're walking in the spirit, you have sinned from sin because you're not walking with the flesh. This is the deeds of the flesh. I'm all done with tobacco chips. And I relied on the law of God. And I delight upon the law. But we do not know. Sometimes we do not owe to know what we supposed to know. Because you look at the scriptures one way. And if the other brother looks at it a different way, like, oh no. That guy. Listen, let him be. Let him be. You follow him. You pray for him. You bow down in the room where nobody sees you and say, Lord, help us and help him or her. But if I go say, hey, Brother Matt, guess what that guy said over there? Poison. And start the cancer. It's like gangrene. And start killing the body. And you know, when gangrene comes, they're supposed to chop you. They're supposed to chop my part of the liver. That's the only way you're going to survive. And it's done by a very meticulous way. And God is doing that. Letting go where they're supposed to go, where they're supposed to be. You do not own them. You do not do nothing. You do not. He's the one who gave his life for us. We have to love one another. If the you know, because I'd say this because I was approached by a brother, hey, what do you think about that guy from Texas? I forgot his name. And I said, God bless him. The guy who says, this is my Bible, you know. And I'm not going to, you know, all I can think of is David. I will not hurt the anointed of the Lord. I won't. And someone will come and say, but how do you know that he's anointed by the Lord? Well, how do you know that he's not? God is at work. God is at work. How many people has heard the gospel and genuinely walk with God? Whether they stay or they leave that church, they're still part of the church. Church is not a building. They're still loving God. Listen what it says on the next verse. I want to go to another scripture. I do have it. Go with me to Isaiah 42. I'm shaking. I don't know why, but I just feel what God was sharing with me is coming out, and I pray and hope that you guys are receiving it in the name of Jesus. I'm going to read to you a verse that the Lord spoke to me this morning on Jeremiah, on Isaiah. I mean, it brought me life because, you know, when you're ministering and when you're working for the Lord, there is so much thing that gets thrown at you. And you know the attack, and you suffer. You cry for those ones who are speaking bad about your brothers or your sisters, and you cry internally. You're not rejoiced by or in agreement with somebody that is speaking bad about others. You're like, oh gosh, Lord, how long? You know, don't wonder why all the prophets and the apostles wanted out. So too much complaint. And even if you don't want to pay us 1 minute of it, and you cut it off, you still see, you know, it gets here. And I was thinking on James. Sin comes through thought. That's where when you sin. And if we don't do what is right in the sight of God, the name of God is being blasphemed because of us. Because we teach and preach the gospel. And then we cause others to, and then we don't only, Jesus, more down in that chapter is, and you not only they invest for them to do it, but they agree with them and do the same thing themselves with them. You're like, geez, you started to pour out, you know, no wonder why he sweat blood. You're never going to be like him, but man, he's inviting us to take the same mentality, the same thinking, to be yawning on his suffering as well. 42, Isaiah verse 1. I want to read from verse 1 to verse 9. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. Faithfulness he will bring forth justice. In faithfulness he will bring justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establish justice on earth. In his law, the islands will put their hope. This is what God the Lord says, he who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and all that comes out of it, who gives bread to his people and life to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand, and I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people. And the light for the Gentiles to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeons those who still in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another or my praise to an idol. See, the former things has taken place, and new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you. He's calling us to understand. He called you. He wants you to understand, to copy Jesus, so that you can understand the anointing that they have and you have. So that they can spring out. Listen, he starts speaking on things about the righteousness. He says, you're righteous and you're just not because of the work that you do, but for what he has done on the cross. Amen. He is the servant of the Lord. He is the Lord himself. And he's giving you an example how to behave here on earth. That's what I told you guys a couple of weeks about hard derek. The Hebrew word hard derek. See, it's the way of living here on earth. While you think that you're going up, he's coming down for you. The same way that you see him coming up, he's going to come down. It's going to be a new heaven, a new earth within. And you're going to be without sin. You're going to see the things how they were in the beginning. And he's not inviting you to wait until the day of. Nobody knows the day or the hour. That's why the Bible invites us in chapter 13 of Mark. Watch. Be watchful. There is four watches where the enemy attack in the Bible, according to Psalms 1, I think it's 121 or 124. You don't take me, but I seen there. There is a beautiful thing of servants to be the watchful of the night. Four watchful. 6 to 9, which is the Last Supper time and the fellowship with the Lord and the family. 9 to 12, where is the temptation. So he invites you to stay awake so that you don't want to be tempted. And the third watch, from 12 to 3, where the Spirit realms. Nobody knows the 30 hour. If it's between 12 or 3, I want to be caught up doing. Because from the fourth watch, from 3 to 6, he's preparing all things new. Every morning he makes his mercies new. Every morning. That's why he says, walk in the day. Or walk in the dark as is the day, where everything can see. If you start with just being a Christian during the day, in the darkened hours, you're not a Christian. On the darkest hours, we sing a song sometimes in here. You're closer than no other. You're closer than no other. You can be in the storm between 3 to 6, and right at 6, he comes the storm. He will walk you through it. He will heal you. He will do whatever you ask. If you do not doubt, he will do it for you. Walk with him. Stay with him. Enjoy your time with him. Master the flesh. You think I don't get tired, brothers? Then I had to work whole day. Am I telling you that you should do that? No, he poured that to me, those watches, long ago. And even when I don't want to get up, he wakes me up. Big old leg, I quit, Lord, I'm going. Something will happen, I will go and pray. See, why? Because I want to stay in bed like everyone else. But I make a covenant with him. I make a date with your God and my God. And I'm not planning to fail it. Even when I'm lazy to want to fail it, he calls me out. And I love it. Another, the purpose is for us to see the true gift he has given us through the grace and mercy given to the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior on the cross. Another purpose that God wants you to learn is to see the true gift. See, grace is a gift. You cannot work for it. You're being saved by grace. What should we do? Just do nothing on the church and be just in the la-la-la world? No. He wants you to grow. He wants you to learn. He wants you to go and study the word so that you can receive. Listen, the Bible says there is a parable that this man, you know, found a treasure. And he went and hid it. See? He went to hid it because at the appointed time, he wanted to share it with others. But other ones, they found the gifts and they, you know, didn't multiply or do nothing with it. Because they know that he was righteous and just. And he was going to account for it. There is a lot of scriptures in the Bible for you to find the treasure. When you find the treasure, it's not for you to keep. You found it. But if we call it, it's mine. and we don't want to share with it? It's my cake. I found it. But before you found it, you didn't have nothing. And now you found the gift and you think that you're rich and wealthy. You're already reigning as a king because you found the gift. The apostle Paul says, I wish I would have been reigning with you. He was given to you. Therefore, freely you have received, you freely give it back. Whatever you start writing down is not just for you. Whatever I wrote down for these messages, it's just not for me. It's for all of us. Whatever your walk might be, whatever God is speaking to you, you need to take. Whatever is on memo, disregard it. Throw it to the trash. But whatever God is pouring unto you, keep it close. That's why he uses speakers or preachers. That's why I went to chapter 2, because I'm holding myself accountable for that. If I'm a preacher of the truth and I start judging everybody, what the heck am I doing for God? You see that? I have a responsibility that I have to keep a certain a certain portrait of myself. Well, hey, no, man, he's whatever. He's kidding and everywhere he goes. I don't have to pretend to have a portrait of how I'm supposed to behave and be. I am who he said I am. And wherever I go, that's who I am. And that's what I share. I don't try to be a really holy, oh, but the Bible says, and this says, and start judging them. I've seen brothers who do that righteously, but still passing judgment upon the one they're pouring onto. And the one they're pouring onto, is like, instead of being lifted, he go like, defeated. Why? Because, oh, he's better than me. Maybe that person that was sharing didn't have, his intention wasn't that. He wanted to be saved, but by the manner of approaching or presenting you, that person's self actually dropped that poor guy to the ground. So sad. Because knowledge pops people up. I'm better than them. See, Lord, I tithe. I bring my offerings. I do this. And that guy over there, I'm not like that guy. And the Lord said, who do you think went more justified? The one who does everything that I command to do, or the one who says, I'm sorry, Lord, I'm a sinner. See, that's what the Bible teaches. The Pharisee that was right next to the sinner was like, I'm a priest. I'm a Pharisee. I don't do what he does. Putting himself above others. And the Bible is full of scriptures for us to do the opposite. See, that's what it says. Let's go to verse 12. I want to give you now the example of how we're supposed to behave. Well, the things that we're not supposed to do and the things that we're supposed to do. Verse 12 down, I'm just going to read it because I don't have to explain it. It's there by itself. See, because when you start walking in love, you understand that love covers a multitude of sins. So you understand that he's the judge, that he's the one who's making all things righteous, that what I read to you in Isaiah, what the Lord was pouring to me this morning, he is the one who will judge all the matters of the living and the dead. He's coming back very soon. He's coming back very soon, and he wants you to find you doing, not just speaking, doing what we speak and live and preach. That's the beauty of us who preach and teach, for us to hold ourselves accountable. Says in verse 12, says, beloved, do not think strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you out, as though some strange things happen to you. But listen, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you might also be glad with exceedingly joy. This past weekend, me and my wife celebrated 25 of wedding anniversary, or not living together, 25 of marriage. And we went, and I started having some discomfort, right? And I'm going to share this with you because I'm going, and I think God is working. Okay? I laid on the bed, and I lifted up my hands. And I start thanking God for the pain. I start thanking God for the trial. I start thanking God for sharing with me what I just shared with you, that He's healing the church. And I'm in awe, you guys. God is my witness. I felt like a cloud being dropped over my body. And I felt that this heavy blanket. And that blanket had a hand and touched me right here. I felt when he moved my t-shirt. I felt it. And I feared. I was so frightened. But not of being scared. I knew who he was. And I wanted to get up and I couldn't. And then I jumped off. And Francis was like, oh my God, somebody just touched my liver. And the fear, I knew what it was. And I was praising God. I was thanking God. I was praying and I was singing songs to the Lord. And I felt that I had a supernatural experience. And from that day, I feel so stinky good. I have a little discomfort. I know that he's at work. And I start thanking Jesus. I got up and said, thank you be to the Lord. You know, I was telling Christ on the way over here, I'm about to go. And I had this anxiety that the enemy is trying to make me, you know, not, I'm going to go. Okay, I'm going to be honest with you. It's not the enemy. It's my flesh. Okay, that's your enemy. Okay? Started to have what if it wasn't truth? What if I'm still sick? What if it's not going to work? What if? And I said, oh, heck no. I'm going to church. I'm going to share it with my brothers. I want you to pray for me. Continue praying for me. Because I'm going to go there believing that God has touched me that day that we were on the anniversary. 25 years and my goodness. Whatever it means, whatever he says, I'm going to continue walking with him. And I'm going to continue serving him. That's why I stopped on this verse, because I want to share that with you. Those little moments, God manifests his power in your weakness and your struggle. Whatever it is, just let him be God. Let's keep on reading on verse 14. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you. For the spirit of glory and of God, check this out, rests upon you. If you get pushed, you get judged, you get mistreated, you go and the people start pulling your beard off and they put a crown of thorns in your head, if they take you to jail and sacrifice you, rest in peace. Because he is with you. And that's what I told my wife on the way over here. I'm at peace because I know he's with me. See, right there and then, I had to cast the thought out. See, listen, brothers and sisters, you speak, expect it to happen. Whether it's good or bad, it's going to happen. Because you're a child of the Most High God, and He honors His word. Therefore, I'm calling you accountable to speak life instead of death. See, we have that power. The same power that He exerted in lifting up Jesus from the grave is in us. The same way that he says, let there be light, it's in you. The stars being born, it's in you. He breathes stars every second. It's in you. And we can say no to the enemy, to the flesh, to the deeds. Listen, you have done with sin. It's done. There is no more sacrifices for sin. That's what he means. He did it once and for all. And I want to read it to you. Verse 14 says, if you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. On their part, he is, excuse me, blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified. Amen? But says, but let no one of you suffer as a murderer. What is a murderer? I want you not to take the life of somebody. Spiritually speaking as well. I want you to be holding yourself accountable and myself accountable. A murderer is not just one who takes the physical life of somebody, but a person who somebody's in ministry and then they throw these things and the ministry die. as a murderer. When we cause hurt to one another to the point of dying, or stopping something that the Lord has prepared. But let no one of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody. And goes the chismosos, the gossipers. In other people's matters. Yet, if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. But let him glorify God in this matter. For the time has come for judgment. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. That's why I took you to Romans. We rejoice on the Lord Christ. The Jew was recognized as the religious folks. Now the Christians are recognized as the religious folks. And we love the Lord. We do these things. Listen what he says. He don't suffer. Don't suffer playing or being part of the other guy. He's the one who came, kill, steal, and destroy before you. This is his playground. And he wants you to be a slave to the things that a man enslaved himself to. I'd rather be a slave of Christ. That's what the Bible says. And I'm gonna give my freedom. Guess what? The freedom was given to me. As soon as I came into the Lord, I became myself a slave of Christ, a servant of Christ. He says, you're free now, you're my friend. You see what I told you a couple of weeks ago? That's how you graduate. First you become a saved, redeemed. Then you become a disciple, a student. Then you start serving him. And after you become a servant, and you're mature with the knowledge of God's word, he calls you his friend. Because a friend knows the master business and a servant doesn't. That's deep. And you're his friend. Look what it says in verse 16. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. For the time has come for judgment to begin in the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? You guys know the truth. You guys know that what is behind, God is going to deal with the matter. But by your behavior, they will come be partakers of the same gift that you receive. Because he did it for us and for them as well. Verse 18 says, now if the righteous one is scarcely safe, where will be the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator. Let your word be done in such a way that you glorify him. Whatever you do, whatever you speak, listen, this is how you cut the gangrene. Okay? Whatever you speak, and if it's not of God, chop it. Stop it and walk away from it. And don't bring it back. Once more. Let it be what it's supposed to be, and you walk in the newness and the Spirit of the Lord. And then he's going to start teaching you his way, his purpose. You know, his will is his testament. His inheritance for you. That's what he gave you. An inheritance that no one can take it away from you. And that's what you are. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you to thank you, Lord, for today. I ask, Lord, as we continue walking with you, that you will continue showing us, Lord, more vividly, where we fail, but not to dwell in the failure, but to rise up and say, thanks be the name of the Lord, and blessed be the name of the Lord. Leave it behind, walk with you. I thank you, Lord, for your messages. I thank you, Lord, for my brothers and my sisters. I thank you for what you're doing in every single one of us in here, and upon those who are also preaching in other places, Lord, the message of the good news. May you bring the fruit, Lord, and the multiplication of it, Lord. I thank you for all things, and I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Santo. I got so excited I didn't drink water. Hey, there is tears on my Bible. You guys want to see them?